Jamie and Locker with you here on a Tuesday afternoon. Hope you are having a great day. Let's spend the next 4 hours together talking sports, shall we? And the party's happening in Florida. And
Are they still going?
Yeah. They're almost done partying in Oklahoma City already. They're like, oh, see you later, boys. Nice winning a championship with you.
SGA is on his way home to Hamilton. And Brad Marchand is still at the pool.
Yeah. Permanently. I think he might permanently just be at the Elbow Room for the rest of the summer until he signs with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Potentially. Wouldn't that be a wild ride? Free agency.
He's going to do it.
The free agency is a week from today, July the 1st. We'll dig in that throughout the rest of the week on the rumors flying around the NHL. Each and every day, we begin the Green Zone with the top sports headlines. Rider practice, day one today. Britton Gray tweets out, Trevor Harris is not practicing. Pardon? Britton asks the coach, is any chance this is concussion related?
I mean, it was a hit underneath the chin, but so we are being smart about that. But, you know, it's also, too, like I said, he was dealing with some other stuff going on, too. So just more taking a look at everything. But, you know, I don't want to strictly jump in there and say it's true concussion protocol. But we're just being smart. But we are looking at everything, though, no doubt.
Friday night, he got his bell rung. I remember he got sacked at one point.
Yeah.
And his head flipped back, and he kind of had his hands up like this, like on the side. I don't remember what quarter that was in.
After the game, he told the reporters, we had a freelancer, Abby Huffman, was working with us and told her, like, just kind of apologized because he wasn't feeling that well. It was a very brief post-game after the game. So, all right. Something to watch this week as the Riders get set for the BC Lions. They have a question mark around their quarterback, Nathan Rourke. Will the Riders have Trevor Harris, or will it be Jake Mairtime behind center? Of course, Britton will be at practice tomorrow. With all the details, Sam Emilis, the receiver, now deemed week to week with his lower body injury. And we've been talking a lot about the kicking game. We've been talking a lot about Brett Lawther.
Okay.
And there's been a lot of heat on the holder. Special teams coordinator Kent Maggiore was talking to Britton today and said, no, there's nothing to do with the hold. Holds are fine.
Okay.
They're figuring it out when it comes to the kicking game for the Riders. But there's the big headline today from Rider practice. No Trevor Harris today might be a question mark for Saturday's game against BC.
Well, also, Tommy doesn't like Tugboat.
Oh, yeah, we have to figure out a new name, a nickname for Tommy Stevens. He doesn't like Tugboat. We asked him. I wanted to know, because I've been saying Tugboat, I just want to know if he doesn't like it. So I'm going to go with Torpedo. Tommy Torpedo? What do we got? We'll see.
I like Tommy Tsunami.
That's terrible.
What is wrong with that? No. That's good.
Stop coming up with nicknames, Locker.
Still comes up like the tease. Tommy Tsunami.
I get you.
All right. Bo Levi weighing in on Luke Wilson's critique of the CFL.
I mean, Luke, welcome to the CFL. You know, I mean, yeah, there's going to be quarterbacks, decent games. There's going to be penalties. But you tell me a fan that was, you know, at the game or watching on TV and the game comes down to the last second when it's tied and has a 99-yard return for a touchdown and tell me it's not exciting. That's, I don't know, for him to decide, I guess.
So if you haven't seen it, we did tweet out Luke's tweet from this weekend. He posted something after Friday night's game, Riders, Argonauts, and in that tweet, he was very critical. He didn't come up with a lot of solutions. He just made a lot of comments about the CFL.
Why it sucks so bad.
And people kind of went at him, and we had talked about it quite a bit yesterday. I went on to see what kind of response he's been giving. I will read the tweet that he sent out today.
He's like the president of the United States. He's declaring victory.
So this is from Luke Wilson's Twitter account today. And you can go check it out. It's on his Twitter account. Huge victory against the numpties. He calls the...
Any fan over the age of 40, apparently, in the CFL is now a numpty because we love the game too much or something.
I don't know. It's his way of the people that don't agree with him. He calls them numpties slash the old guard. A simple, well-thought-out tweet has caused utter destruction. They are weakened. Their backs are against the wall. They are scared. They launched a counterattack. They came at me. They have failed. So that is his tweet in response to all the backlash that he got, referring to the CFL as not a great product.
He called Friday night's game hot garbage. Said it was hot garbage. Can't grow the game with a game like that.
Okay. The penalties, you brought up the penalties. Hey, the penalties, that was ridiculous.
It was sloppy. It was a sloppy game. But the fact he's criticizing the end of that game on the final drive, taking, I don't know, not enough time off the clock and allowing the kick return. Okay, the Argos didn't have enough players on the field. Too damn bad. They made a mistake. Are you telling me people weren't jumping off the couch watching that game going, oh my God, that's crazy. What a finish.
Yeah.
Apparently he was on the sideline just with the resting you-know-what face going, this is terrible. How can you have a game end like that?
Well, and he doesn't like the rouge, which I will side with him on that.
There was some stuff I agreed with. The finish I vehemently oppose. The last 3 minutes of the CFL is so good all the time. What? No lead is safe. That is
like
a healthy
that
thing
about
the Canadian football.
I like life. That about the CFL.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I just wanted to read his tweet because he also put a picture up of... Neo from the Matrix. So I think he thinks he's here to save us all.
Yeah, that's
so we got Luke here, everybody. Don't worry.
We're gonna still want to have him on the show and have an open dialogue with the guy.
I tweeted him. He didn't get back to me.
You're a numpty, so relax.
Am I?
I don't know if I am. I have no idea. It's all his world, and we're just living in it. Okay, let's go.
If I am a numpty, is there swelling involved?
Is there a cream for that? We'll ask him. The Hockey Hall of Fame announced its newest members.
Lane went across, and it's Keith the shot save. Rebound, he scores! Thornton, they score! Joe Thornton, and the Sharks win the series in overtime!
O'Gilley going ready to go!
It's my honor to present you with the Stanley Cup.
That's a good crowd.
Yeah, it was in Vancouver. Of course, they were booing. They just lost game 7. Duncan Keith, Zdeno Chara, Joe Thornton, Alexander McGillney in the player category. On the women's player category, Jennifer Botterill, Brianna Decker, and then two builders, Jack Parker, the old Boston University Terriers coach. He coached that team for over 40 years. And Danielle Sauvageau, she was the coach behind the bench when the women in Canada won the 2002 Winter Olympics and the 2001 World Hockey Championship. Also the first female coach in the QMJHL. And actually, Danielle will go in the first woman builder in hockey
Hall of Fame history today.
So there's your Hall of Famers, Keith, Chara, Thornton, Alexander McGillney. When it comes to NHL players, the player that was left out that we had a debate about with Justin Blackwell, Carey Price.
So you had Duncan Keith?
I had Keith, Chara, Thornton. I thought it would be Marlowe instead of Alexander.
I thought it would be Marlowe as well.
But you had Carey Price on your list.
I had Carey Price. Does he get in next year? And probably. I'm not even a Habs fan. I just thought it's Carey Price.
His resume doesn't read as when you put it up against everybody else. There's no Stanley Cups. He didn't have a long career.
Yeah.
So he's not up there in like the big wins or anything.
But there is a.
And he was the goaltender of a Canadian Olympic team.
Cachet behind him. He won gold, World Juniors.
Yes. But
I'm glad Alexander McGillivray got in.
It's about damn time. Do you know who should go in next? Keith Tkachuk.
We can move on.
Go ahead.
The rumor mill in the NHL is buzzing.
And there's Hurdle in the bumper spot. He slams it home. McNabb lets it go and he scores. Looked like it was tipped to the side of the net. Cross ice and cross crease and a score. Tomas Hurdle. And here come the Hats.
Tomas Hurdle is the latest rumor. Vegas Knights and Carolina Hurricanes apparently working on something there. Are the Vegas Knights making room for a Marner? A lot of conversation around the possibility that Marner might make his way to Vegas. I have him on the board going to Utah. The one thing that I have noticed about Utah is they have been sort of climbing up. They were down here on the list of the rumor mills for Marner, and they've been like gaining.
Well, if he wants to go to a team, and clearly he just wants to go to a team with one reporter, Utah might be the place to go, because clearly,
is he trying to hide?
No, you're that close with Toronto to try to win a Stanley Cup, but no, I just want to go to a place where I can just live quietly in the mountains. All right, you never know, right? That's not the player I want. I don't want that guy on my team. I don't want players who want to hide. I don't. That tells me something about you. This is a competitive, high-octane sport where you have to be the alpha. And if you want to peace out, and I'm sorry, I'm looking at you going, come on.
Is it hiding?
Come on. Absolutely, it's hiding.
Is it getting away from Toronto? Because
apparently he doesn't want to play in any Canadian market. Any Canadian market is off. So that tells me there's too many microphones in the room for Mitch Marner.
Yeah.
Too many, people poking holes in his game. So
it'll be interesting to see what ends up happening. Again, we've got a good conversation coming up. We got Luke Fox coming up tomorrow. We'll get into it more with him. And he's boots on the ground in Toronto.
Also, Aaron Rodgers says he's pretty sure this is his last year.
This was really about finishing with a lot of love and fun and peace for the career that I've had. I mean, I played 20 freaking years.
When he says pretty sure, that means we're just going to have to go through another Aaron Rodgers watch next April, aren't we, in the locker? That's what it's going to boil down to. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, Locker, not a big fan of Sam Bennett.
They call us dirty. They call us nasty. They call us bullies. So, no, I would like to take this time to apologize to absolutely no one.
But today, coming up next, Locker will tell you a Florida Panther he actually likes. Yeah, we're seeing growth from Locker here in the Green Zone today on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone. We found a Florida Panther Locker actually likes.
You got to play the audio.
I know.
I don't want to run out of time.
The player is Sergei Bobrovsky. The goaltender was asked today about the celebrations by him and his teammates.
I don't know. I'm a little different. I celebrate a little different, so I'm not like overexcited about the things. I'm just I don't know. I feel as I said, I feel humble and appreciated for the opportunity, and I want to keep that way. You know, I feel like it's so close. Everything is so tight, and you know, it could go any way at any time. And I also there is on the other side, there is also 20 warriors who compete and work hard in each and every game and each and every round against us, and they could also be on our spot, you know. So consider all those things. I keep my humbleness and appreciation to the God what He made me go through, you know, and keep that way.
That's the way a winner should respond, in my opinion. And listen, I will say this. I want to make sure that I say this out loud. I think the Oilers are complicit in how this whole thing ended and why Florida is doing what they're doing. But I you know what? Everyone's like cheering on Florida for being these a-holes. And I'm like, I don't know about that. It just, it's not a good look. I don't think it's a good look for the game. I don't think it's a good look for Florida. I don't think it's a good look for the fans.
You need antagonists in your sport.
Yeah.
You need antagonists.
There's a way to do it. Right? Some of the Marchand stuff's fun. It's that one sort of step too far. There's a lack of maturity to it. Is my issue with it. And I'm guessing that the Oilers did things on the ice and said things that spurred this on. So they're, like I said, they're complicit. They're part of the problem, but I don't know.
Sergei Bobrovsky, Locker's favorite Florida Panther.
Right there.
Jamie and Locker with you on this Tuesday afternoon. Britt and Gray coming up. No Trevor Harris at Rider practice today. Did not practice. The coach talked about an infection. He said he wasn't feeling well after the game. Britton's like, is this at all anything to do with concussion? And that's where Corey Mays started.
There are some summer colds going around.
Absolutely, there are. So then he kind of tap danced around the concussion issue today with Trevor Harris. But we'll see. Tomorrow he might be right back out there. It'll be something to watch ahead of Saturday's game against the BC Lions. And they have their own quarterback issue with Nathan Rourke. Didn't play last week. Jeremiah Masoli didn't play that well, but an oblique injury. Quarterback injuries have sucked at the start of this season. Of course, Chad Kelly hasn't been able to play yet because of his leg. Drew Brown's missing. Davis Alexander with a hamstring. He might be out.
Kolaris is back, though.
Kolaris only got suspended because he didn't check his email. So that's why he was out week one, but he's good to go. Trey Ford did practice. He kind of tweaked an ankle at the end of the game, but he's fine. So,
Trevor, if you're not taking zinc, add that to your daily supplements.
What does that do?
Zinc is it helps you fight off viruses and stuff. Like, it's good.
What about poutine?
Does
that have zinc in it? I don't know.
That's not that a would supplement.
Help me out. That would help me out.
It's not a supplement.
What do you mean? It's a Canadian supplement. Enough out of you. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Well, it was a farewell of sorts with Tim Cherry and his father, Don, have been doing the Grapevine podcast, over 300 episodes. Of course, this started up after the infamous battle between Don Cherry and Hockey Night in Canada around Remembrance Day. And you go back to the you people who come here for our milk and honey. And he was talking about downtown Toronto immigrants not wearing a poppy on Hockey Night in Canada. And there was an uproar, and he signed off on Hockey Night. That was his last show. That was it. Since that time, he's been doing the Grapevine with his son, Tim. Over 300 episodes. They're short, small pot, like little sound bites. Just like his show Grapevine used to be on the radio. They played it all over Canada. And there was these little short bites. Don would tell a story about somebody, and away they'd go. So over the weekend, they recorded their final podcast together.
Well, Tim, this is our last show.
Yep. How many podcasts have we done?
I don't know.
This is our 313th.
313th.
Yeah, we've been listened to all around the world. It's just amazing how many different countries, you know, people download and listen to it. We've had 6.5 million downloads, which is pretty good. So
how many?
6.5 million downloads.
That's an awful lot. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and toodaloo.
Don Cherry, frail, 91 years old, with a toodaloo on his final Grapevine podcast. How will you remember Don Cherry? Will you remember him as the controversial loudmouth figure on Hockey Night in Canada? Will you remember him for his words that got him fired from Hockey Night in Canada? Is he a great Canadian? He was number 7. Remember, CBC did the greatest Canadians.
I remember that
way back in the day. Number 1 was Tommy Douglas. Number 2 was Terry Fox.
I thought
we'll
Terry
skip
Fox.
Number 3 also just tick people off. And number 7, Don Cherry was 7. Wayne Gretzky was 10. Do you still hold Don Cherry as one of the greatest Canadians ever?
I'm here to reveal the nasty truth.
I would roast you, but my mom said I'm not allowed to burn trash.
Lie detector test determined you are telling the truth.
I'm the trash man.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
Truth or Trash Tuesday.
1-877-332-8255. You read the comments on the post from Don Cherry's social media account, and there's hundreds of comments thanking Don and calling him
good.
One of the greatest Canadians. And we had this chat in the Green Zone Lounge, and I remember doing the show when Don departed, got fired from Hockey Night in Canada. And I will go back, and I will repeat what I said. I agreed with the move to get rid of Don Cherry. I agreed with it. Because there is a time when what Don Cherry was saying was no longer necessary on television. His comment towards immigrants was offside. And I remember that day comparing Don Cherry to my own grandfather. There, my grandfather, I hold him in high regard. He was a great man. He ran an auto body shop in Regina for nearly 50 years. He and his, and my grandmother worked together, ran their own business, and were very successful people.
Mm-hmm.
But my grandfather said things that shouldn't be on television. He had a worldview of a man born in 1919.
Yeah.
And Don Cherry had a worldview of a man born in 1934. And that's okay. And I'm okay with that. But there was that was a time where you went, does that need to be on the CBC on Hockey Night in Canada?
Yeah.
With that worldview. That is very old school and sometimes inappropriate. Don Cherry's hockey knowledge, what he did for hockey, how he grew the game, the stop signs on the backs of the kids, you know, keep your stick on the ice. Good Canadian back there. His love for the military, that his love and the passion for the military is what led to the demise of Hockey Night in Canada. His love for police and the people in blue. Don Cherry was a great man. There's no doubt in my mind Don Cherry was a great man, but the end sucked. The end was terrible. But I don't think the end of Hockey Night in Canada should be Don Cherry's final legacy. His legacy should be built on the years and years and years and years and years where he stood up, I believe, on the right side of history. Locker.
Yeah. It's a tricky one because, and I said this yesterday when we saw that. And you can be a fan of Don Cherry, and you can also be upset at how it ended. And I said for years that I thought that cooler heads would prevail. Not that the decision to let him go, because he played a part in it. He didn't want to apologize. They told him that if he apologized, they would bring him back. And he's stubborn, and he didn't, and that was his choice. But I always thought that at one point that they would bring him back and that it would end differently, right? That was my hope. I was kind of holding out for that. And like I said this morning, like I grew up when watching hockey and being a fan of hockey when he started, and every Saturday it was must watch TV. And there were lots of times he made me laugh. Mm-hmm. There was lots of times I was like, "Ooh, Don, really?" But it was something that I looked forward to every week, and I think a lot of Canadians were like that. So the way it ended not only did it kind of fractured the nation a little bit for a while as well. And it's still a really controversial conversation, especially, Jamie, when you get into, you know, Ron's involvement, right? And
well, did you have to bring Ron into this?
But
there's a whole can of worms on how it ended with Ron on the apology of
here's the
nauseating
thing.
Apology on that here's, next Saturday.
Here's the thing I would like to say about Don. Don made a mistake. Don paid the price for it. And I think if you sat him down right now and you asked him whether or not he made a mistake, and there wasn't a camera in the room, he probably would admit that he made a mistake. And I wish we could have a conversation about Don Cherry without this awkward sort of, well, yeah, I know he was a good guy, but he made a mistake. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And we still can't.
Scott, what do you think of the legacy of Don Cherry?
There is no doubt in my mind that Don Cherry was one of the greatest Canadians ever. You find a person involved in the media today that loved Canada and its veterans as much as Don Cherry. The only thing Don Cherry was guilty of was being an 85-year-old man. That's all I have to say.
Scott, and that's
a good point.
That's what was my point. Well, you told a story about your grandfather.
He would say things that
you can't put on television. You couldn't put it on television. My grandmother went through the war and had very strong opinions. And there were more than a couple of times my mom and my sister and I would have to say, Grandma, listen, we love you, but please don't say that kind of stuff at the Legion on Friday nights, right? Like you can't say that out loud. And they're, like you said, they come from a very different time. I had a friend of mine that used to, he had a comment and this kind of sums it up. He said it didn't feel like a family function until somebody said, I'm not racist, but, and then got into a story, right? We all have family members that have an opinion that might not necessarily fit.
Whether it's ignorance or intolerance or whatever it is.
Yeah.
As Scott said, he was 85. He had a worldview that, I know the word woke gets thrown around, but it wasn't about wokeness or anything. It was,
he stepped over the line quite a bit. If we're being honest with ourselves, he did.
Well, there was times he'd attack European hockey players and all those things. I felt that there was always a bit of showmanship with what Don Cherry was doing when he broached those subjects. Because he was coach's corner, after all.
And Ron did a pretty decent job of sort of countering that. Don, how many times did you hear Ron say, Don, you can't say that?
Now, I know Joe Warmington does have a piece that says Don Cherry wants to be back next season for a podcast, but the post...
He's not coming back.
Post that was shared yesterday says Don Cherry says goodbye in final podcast. Yep. That was the post from the Cherry family. 1-877-332-8255. As the Don says, toodaloo, maybe for one last time. Well, what are you thinking about when it comes to Don Cherry's legacy? Neil in Winnipeg, what do you think?
Oh, you guys, like, Hockey Night in Canada will never be the same, has not been the same since he's left. You know, you had a caller on just now that talked about how he took care of the troops and how he honored the troops. And, you know, there were times when he had RCMP officers that had lost their lives in the line of duty. Yeah. I'll tell you this, the Sportsnet broadcast has lost its heart when they lost Don. Like, I do not watch that hot stove, like the analysts. I don't watch anything with those four guys anymore. I don't give two flying F's about what Ron has to say, what Kevin has to say. I don't care. Just show me the hockey game.
Like, but I mean, Don Cherry, he deserved better. It pisses me off. You know, like, the first thing my daughter ever watched, the night she was born, was a Saturday. What do you think she watched? Don Cherry.
Don Cherry was an institution, Neil.
Yeah.
I watched it. There were times I'd play mini sticks in my living room during the first period. And then when the intermission came on, I would stop and watch Coach's Corner. And then the second intermission, Satellite Hot Stuff. Like that, the intermissions were as much watch as the game was for some people.
Jamie
Fuzzo. And now I agree with Neil. Now it's just the typical, here's a breakdown of
I really like,
X's
I will
O's.
Say this. I like
Don,
Kevin Bietzo.
Don talked to you like it was your first time watching hockey and kept it simple, stupid. Keep your stick on the ice. Don't get your stick in front of the shot because you're going to tip it and the goalie can't get a good read. He ranted on that every damn show.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter. We loved it. And yes, Neil, we missed that personality on Hockey Night in Canada.
100%.
1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on the Green Zone. Lots of texts coming in on Don Cherry. Although Joe Warmington, just like an hour or so ago, has a story that says, Don would like to have another year.
But
the post on the podcast yesterday says, said goodbye in final podcast. That had a finality to it.
His family is, Don might not.
As you've been listening all year, you can hear it in his voice.
Yeah.
He is 91 years old. And
did you see that they did a little piece on him when they went to his house and hung out with him? And
so Don Cherry asking you what his legacy should be as he said goodbye, toodaloo, as he put it on the podcast published 2 days ago. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.